Appreciate Traver giving us that speech on why he believes salvation is by faith alone. Hey, Chris, he gave us some passages that show that we're saved by faith. Not a single one of them said we're saved by faith alone. He teaches salvation by faith only, but all of the passages he gave to prove that just taught we were saved by faith. You're saved by faith. If I say I had at the restaurant tonight, Traver, ate fried chicken, does that mean I did not have french fries? Doesn't mean that. If I ate fried chicken, doesn't mean I didn't have french fries. So just define the verse that says you're saved by faith. John 3:16 doesn't teach you're saved by faith alone. As a matter of fact, there's a verse on the topic of salvation that talks about, has the word faith and only in there. And Trevor predicted I would bring it up, of course. James 2:24 says this. This is a passage on the subject of salvation, and it talks about faith, salvation, and alone or only. It says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Now remember, Traver quoted verses that said we're saved by faith. Nothing that says we're saved by faith only, though. Now we've got a verse that says we're not saved by faith only, we're also justified by works. That should be easy enough right there for us to close the book and know what God is saying. Traver says faith only by showing verses say faith, but not faith only. Then I show a verse that says it's not by faith only, it's also by works. That ought to be enough. Y'all see James 2:24, it ought to settle this issue. Traver's saying salvation by faith only. The book of God says no, it's justification by works and not by faith only. Jonathan. Jonathan, 147. Now, so Traver looks at a passage like John 3:36a. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Says you got to have faith. Remember, it didn't say faith only, but it does say, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. How about John 6:47? He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Those, you would think those two passages prove your position, don't you, Traver? Okay. But now we have a passage that says this in John 5:24. This is Jesus speaking. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Rodney, who is that? Who is him that sent Jesus?
His Father.
God the Father. That's saying, believe on God the Father. He that believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. So if those two verses, John 3:36 and John 6:47, mean when it says you believe, you have everlasting life, that means believe only in Jesus, that's all you have to do, then what would John 5:24 mean? Because it says, if you believe in God the Father, you have everlasting life. If those verses are telling you all you have to do to be saved, then the Jews are unequivocally saved according to your logic, Traver. It's possible to believe in the Father, but not in Jesus. That's very possible. John 14:1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. It's possible to believe in God the Father and not believe in him. And according to Traver's logic, his logic in John 3:36 and John 6:47, John 5:24 would say all you got to do is believe on God the Father. You don't even have to believe in Jesus to be saved. Jonathan, 102. Now let's talk about repentance. Traver says you're saved by faith alone. But what is that? Where does that leave repentance? That, you know, you would think if somebody says you're saved by faith only, that would mean you wouldn't have to repent. That's not true. That's not what Traver means. Traver said this in the book, Tommy, The Debate with Tommy. So we experience the forgiveness of sins once we come to faith and repent. So it's really not faith alone. You have to believe and repent according to Traver himself. But according to the way he interpreted the passages, if you find a verse that says you've got to believe to be saved, that means believe only, that would mean you don't even have to repent. That would mean a person that I've debated to the gay church who believes in Jesus, but they're living in homosexuality. According to your logic, Traver, that means they're saved. Because you said faith alone. No, you said faith and repent. Which one is it, Traver? Notice these passages that say you also have to repent. Acts 11:18, then God hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. So it's not faith only. You have to have faith and you have to repent, just like Traver said. He said that in the book with Tommy, but in tonight he said it was faith alone. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. So you do have to repent to have your sins blotted out. Now, Traver said last night, we've heard, all of us have heard this many times, faith and repentance are two different sides of the same coin. I mean, it all happens at the same time. Well, if that's true, there's something beyond faith and repent, you have to be saved. You equate repentance and faith as the same. This says you've got to repent and be converted to get your sins blotted out. So if repent and faith are the same thing, that means you have to have faith and be converted, according to your own logic, Traver. Love you, buddy, okay? Don't think just because I'm pressing my points, I don't like you. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Doesn't that prove conclusively you got to have more than faith? It's not faith only? Jesus said, suppose you believe in him. Like those chief rulers, Traver, in John 12:42 and 43, he says they believed in Jesus, but they weren't willing to confess him because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They were scared to be put out of the synagogue. The Bible says they believed in God. I mean, Jesus. They believed in Jesus. But they weren't willing to follow through on their belief. John 12, 42 and 43, y'all familiar with that passage. They believed in Jesus, but they weren't willing to confess him. They weren't willing to repent of their sins. They were more concerned about what people would think. And then Jonathan 1:36. So let's talk about calling on the name of the Lord. One isn't saved until he calls upon the name of the Lord. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Traver said this: "Everyone that has faith calls on the name of the Lord to be saved. They are acknowledging that they trust the Lord to save them. It is an expression of faith. God is promising all those that do that will be saved." So Trevor's admitting, one, that calling on the name of the Lord is necessary to salvation. So it's not faith alone. It's at least faith plus calling upon the name of the Lord. And he's admitting in that quote that calling upon the name of the Lord comes after faith. You see that? And you know it comes after faith. Here's Romans 10:14. We read Romans 10:13, Trevor. You've got to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. But Romans 10:14 says, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed?" He said, you can't call upon the name of the Lord unless you believe first. In other words, you believe first, then you call upon the name of the Lord. Trevor agrees with Romans 10:13. You've got to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. That comes after faith. So it's really impossible to get away from this conclusion. You're not saved by faith only. You at least have to believe, and then after you believe, you call upon the name of the Lord. And then the next chart, number 134, Jonathan. Also, we talked about some of this last night, confession comes after belief. One is not saved until he confesses the Lord Jesus, Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that's verse 9. And then verse 10, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Unto, apes, you've got to confess with your mouth to be saved. Here's what Trevor said about that. Paul also promised that believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth is enough to save us. And he gives Romans 10, 9 as proof. That's the truth, Trevor. That's the truth, what you said right there. To be saved, you've got to believe in your heart and confess. And guess what? You cannot confess until you believe first. It can't be. It's not faith only, because you can't confess Christ that he's Lord without believing. Otherwise, it's a dishonest confession. So you believe first, then you confess. And according to what Trevor said, and more importantly, according to what Paul said, you've got to do both. You believe first, then you can honestly confess. You confess with the mouth, and then you're saved. So it's more than just faith. You've got faith, then you've got repentance. Remember, Trevor said you've got to have faith and repentance. That's both. You've got to have confession. You've got to have calling on the name of the Lord. And then 130, Jonathan. 130. Paul was saved at least 3 days after he believed in Christ. In Acts 9, and you can look at these passages, in Acts 22, Paul called Jesus Lord. Jesus said, "But who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Paul said, "What do you want me to do?" He believed in Jesus on the road to Damascus. Jesus said, "You go on into the city, I'll tell you what to do." He's in the city 3 days. Jesus sends Ananias to him to tell him what to do. So we're talking about, let's say it took 1 day to travel to Damascus. They had to walk back then probably. So these 4 days later, he's already believed in Christ. According to Trevor, he's already been forgiven of his sins. According to Trevor's position. One, because it's salvation by faith only. Okay? But now they get into Damascus, and Ananias, the one that Jesus told to go to him, tells him this. In Acts 22:16, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." If Trevor would have been there, he'd have said, "No, Ananias, he's saved by faith. He already believed 3 or 4 days before that. He doesn't have to do anything to get his sins washed away. His sins are already washed away because he's saved by faith only." Is that what you'd have said, Trevor?
10 minutes.
What would you have said to Ananias there? Would you have argued with him? Ananias told Saul to do something that has sins washed away. And that's 3 days after he believed. 3 days after Trevor believes that he was saved, he's told to do something to get his sins washed away. That goes back to last night. He's told to be baptized to get sins washed away. The water doesn't wash away your sins. It's the blood of Christ, Revelation 1:5, and many other passages. The question is when. I asked Trevor a question. Is the person forgiven of their sins when Jesus died on the cross, or when they believe? He said, when they believe. So just because Jesus died on the cross, he paid for their sins, but they're not forgiven. Trevor says when they believe. But this verse says, Saul's sins weren't washed away by the blood of Christ. The when did not happen when he believed. The when happened 3 or 4 days later when he called upon the name of the Lord, when he was baptized. So it's not by faith only. Salvation is clearly not by faith only if you believe what the Bible says. You've got to not only believe, you've got to repent, you've got to confess, you've got to call upon the name of the Lord, you've got to be baptized. That's clear. Number 101, Jonathan. Summary response on this salvation by faith only. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:30, the walls of Jericho fell by faith. Does that mean they fell by faith only, meaning the Israelites didn't have to do anything? Does that mean they fell at the point they had the faith? No. They had to compass about the city 7 days. The walls did not fall when they believed the walls would fall. The walls fell when they believed, and then the belief led to action. So just because something, the Bible says something happens by faith, doesn't mean it happens by faith alone or at the point of faith. It doesn't mean you don't have to do anything. Now, Traver's logic is that, well, if the Bible says you're saved by faith, that means faith alone, and I'm just reviewing in this first bullet point, that would mean you're saved without repentance, confession, or calling on the name of the Lord. Let's look at some passages and see what they would look like the way Traver interprets things. James 2:22 says, by works was faith made perfect or complete. And Traver says you're saved by faith alone without works. That would mean that you're saved with an imperfect faith, because works are what make your faith perfect or complete. According to your position, Traver, you're saved by faith alone without the works. That means you're saved when you have an incomplete faith, because this verse says faith is made perfect by your works. And then 1 John 2:5, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. So notice, you have a love for God, but that love is not perfect or complete until you keep his word. So if you're saved without works, that would mean you're saved with an incomplete, imperfect love of God. There's no way to escape that conclusion, Traver. This is what the Bible says. I urge you, and I love you, say this with all love, believe Jesus instead of Calvinism. Okay? That's the problem here. You're so concerned about upholding a system of theology, you can't accept what the Bible verses say plainly and obviously. All right? How about James 2:19, the devils also believe and tremble? This was brought up in a question last night. Very good point. If you're saved by faith only without works, then the demons would be saved. That's one of the arguments that is made in James 2. Verse 14 says, can you be saved by faith without works? The answer is no, all the way to the end of verse 26, four times. One of the arguments that's made is, if that's true, if you're saved by faith only, like Traver teaches, the demons would be saved. The demons, of course, believe Jesus is the Son of God. They know it, but they're not willing to serve him. That's the difference. How about 1 John 2:10 says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Oh, does that mean all you got to do to be saved is love your brother? An atheist who loves his brother is going to be saved? That's what that would mean if the way Traver reasons is true. He sees it says, a verse that says you got to have faith to be saved. That means you're saved by faith alone. Well, that would mean a person is saved by loving his brother alone. What about Matthew 6, 14 and 15? For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Does that mean do that alone? You mean an atheist could forgive his brother and God would forgive him? How about 11:18? Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. All you got to do is repent? Is that what that means? It doesn't mention faith. You see a passage that says you got to have faith to be saved. That means faith alone. Well, here's a passage that says you got to repent to be saved. Does that mean repent alone? You can repent of your sins without ever having any faith? How about 1 Peter 3:21, which we quoted last night? Baptism doth also now save us. Does that mean all you got to do to be saved is be baptized? You don't have to believe? You don't have to repent? According to your logic, Traver, it wouldn't mean that, because it doesn't mention belief and repentance. It just says you're saved by baptism. What we have going on here, and I'm going to try to explain this if I have time. When you see a passage like John 3:16 that says, believe, you're going to be saved, it's what the word that he used last night is, the synecdoche. It's the part standing for the whole. Bonnell, how many head of cattle you got on your farm?
25.
Does that mean there's just a bunch of heads laying there on the ground? Or is that 25 whole cows, Bonnell? So you see that use of the word synecdoche, head, cow, 25 heads stands for 25 whole cows. So when you see the word, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, that's belief in the synecdoche sense. It's including everything you have to do to be saved. You know Traver really believes that, because he doesn't believe it's belief only. He believes his belief, in Acts 16:31, for example, includes not only belief, but repent, confession, calling on the name of the Lord, but for some reason, he's going to exclude baptism. And then Jonathan 106. The question is not, are we saved by faith? The question is, are we saved by faith only? Are we saved at the point of faith? Now let's look at these two passages. Traver sees a passage that says, you got to believe to be saved. He assumes belief only. What about John 5:25? They that hear shall live. Or Isaiah 55:3, hear and your soul shall live. According to Traver's logic, that would mean all you have to do to be saved is hear the word of God. But we know, all of us here know, and Traver knows, that that's here in the synecdoche sense. It's not just hear, I heard the word of God and I didn't do anything. That's not what that's talking about. That's hear the word of God, hear God in the sense of respond. It's the synecdoche for the whole response. Either these two verses Traver used here as a synecdoche for the complete response, or all a person has to do is hear God's word to live. You see the parallel to faith listed in a verse by itself, like John 3:16. And then 104, Jonathan. 104. Say by faith, but when? We agree the Bible teaches we're saved by faith. We're justified by faith, Romans 5:1. The question is, when are we saved by faith? Here's an Old Testament illustration we've already went through. Hebrews 11:30, the walls of Jericho. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were accomplished about 7 days. They fell by faith. No doubt about that. We're saved by faith. No doubt about that. But the walls of Jericho, when it says they fell by faith, it was not until after they had done what the faith should lead them to do, to walk around the walls. Same thing in Galatians 3:26 and 27, which we brought up last night. For you're all the children of God by faith. No doubt about that. Everybody here, Traver, believes we're children of God by faith. But then it says, 2, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The little word for that begins verse 27 means to introduce the reason. But Paul is saying, you're a child of God by faith. And the reason is because you've been baptized into Christ. The way you became a child of God by faith is by being baptized into Christ. You can't become a child of God by faith without being baptized into Christ, according to that. And notice that you're baptized into Christ. Into Christ, Traver defines that as in union with Christ. I like that definition. You're not in union with Christ. You're not in a safe relationship with Christ. You're not in fellowship with Christ until you've been baptized. And then 148, Jonathan. 148. Look at this, Traver. See what you think. Here's what Jesus said in Mark 11:24. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Think about that, Traver. Does that mean all you got to do is believe that you'll have them and you'll have them when you pray? Is that saying believe only? I'd like to know. It doesn't mean that, does it? It says if you believe when you pray, you'll have it. But it doesn't mean believe only, because we can go to other passages that tell other things that have to be true about your prayers for God to answer them. For example, 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So not only do you have to believe, we know from other passages that you have to be living right. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust, James 4:3. So I ask God for that brand new red Corvette, just because I believe he's going to give it to me, doesn't mean I'm going to get it, because I'm asking to satisfy my own lust. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So you, yourself, when you see about prayer, that if you believe you're going to receive it, you'll get it. You don't think that means believe only, do you, Traver? You agree with me. No, you have to be living righteously. You're not going to pray for something just to consume it upon your own lust, like that red Corvette I want. You're going to ask according to his will. You go to other passages to find out the complete picture. The sum of God's word is truth. Isn't that what Jesus told the devil in the temptation? All of God's word. So when you're looking for the truth of what a person has to be saved, say time, you look at all the passages. One will say believe. One will say repent and be baptized. One will say believe and be baptized, Mark 16:16. You put them all together, all of God's word. Thank you for being willing to listen to me.